of questions and a heart full of pain. Can't understand why we're here again. But there's grace in this season, not just to see us through, but to renew us. And you are love, Lord, and your ways testify. You are love, Lord, perfectly defined. Through the suffering or joy, we will confide in your perfect. Mindful of questions and a future unclear, but your perfect love scatters fear. Cause your will is to build up and not to harm, but to complete us. You are love, Lord, and your ways testify. You are love, Lord, perfectly defined. Through the suffering or joy, we will confide in your perfect love. In your perfect love. It's time to stretch these legs a fifth. Run into this unknown with truth of your love for us. You are love, Lord. You are love, perfectly defined. Through the suffering or joy, we will confide in your perfect love. In your perfect love. Oh, in your perfect love.
Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Trumpet in Zion, sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name, glory be to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. We are a South Florida radio program that preaches the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And tonight we continue on our Bible study in a verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 John chapter 4. Last week we left off in verse 16, and tonight we continue in 17 and onward, to see where it is that the Holy Spirit leads us. We invite you to visit our webpage, redemptionandpower.com, where you can be able to listen to all of our archive podcasts, as well as our live radio feed, where we have 24/7 content. We hope to be able to finally finish this project soon so that we can have more producers, more programming for you, especially in this time of spiritual famine, where it's very difficult to be able to get a good, solid biblical study because there's so much deviation from the Word of God. We also invite you to download our apps, either for iPhones or Android, to be able to listen to our program at your convenience. You can also visit our Facebook page where we weekly post up the previous podcast, so you can be able to listen to it on your computer. Or you can also subscribe to us through iTunes. You can also contact us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com. You can also call us at 305-320-7727. Brother Lewis, would you kindly lead us in prayer tonight?
Amen. Father God, tonight we thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done in our lives. And Lord, we pray for your people, Father, that they may be receptive to this word today, Father, that you are giving them. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Once again, you're listening to Radio Redemption and Power. Hallelujah, praise the Lord, glory be to his name. Tonight we continue our study in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. In case this is your first time tuning in, we're doing a verse-by-verse study of the book of 1 John. And this is, we continue, hopefully, maybe finishing up the fourth chapter. It's a very small book, but there's so many wonderful things, so many deep things in this portion of scripture that it's very difficult to just go ahead and skim by them so quickly. Some of these things are worth just dwelling and marinating on them for days because they just speak so powerfully to our lives. In fact, this is a very encouraging book. The Apostle John was the very last apostle of the apostolic era. And he was also the apostle that was able to get a glimpse of the things that happened in the future, and he was able to see the victory that we have in Christ, not only through the cross and the resurrection, but also when Jesus comes to abolish and destroy the kingdoms of this world to establish the kingdom of God. He was able to see that. He was able to see that vision in the book of Revelation. So it's no wonder why this book is filled with so much exhortation, with so much encouragement. It's a book that will strengthen us in difficult times, especially the times that we're about to experience. We're seeing that this time in history is very unique than any other time. We're seeing so many, so much of the prophecies come to be realized, to be fulfilled. And we as Christians need to be faithful, especially in these times when we're so close to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So last week we left off in we finished off verse 16, and tonight we continue in 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. And the scripture says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 17, it says, "Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Herein is our love made perfect." Now, this word perfect is the same Greek word that is connected to the word completed, completion. It's the word teleo that's related to the word tetelestai, which Jesus said at the cross, "It is finished." When the Bible is speaking about perfection, it's saying for us to be completed, for us to be made whole. And what is he talking about? What he's saying here, what the Apostle John is saying, where he says, "Herein is our love made perfect," it's connected to the previous verse. In case you didn't listen to the podcast or last week's podcast, there are specific things that he says in verse 16 that have to do with what he's saying now. And if you look at the verse 16, John tells us the very first point, he says, "And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us." So the very first thing for love to be perfected in us is that we need to believe, we need to know and believe that God loves us. You see, a Christian that does not believe, does not know God's love, would not be successful. It's God's love that strengthens us. It is God's love that allows us to be able to live faithfully in this world. You see, it's only so much that you can get a person to do things out of fear. You can use fear as a way to control. It works. We see that in countries of dictatorships like Cuba. Cuba is one of the most totalitarian nations in the world. People are not allowed to say anything that they feel. They're not allowed to be able to speak their minds. They live in constant surveillance. And through the threat of fear, the government is able to make the people do what they want. But eventually, it gets to a point where you become sick of it, that we see the desperation of some of these individuals, that they actually take their chances out in the sea rather than living under an oppressive government. But when someone does something motivated out of love, it is something that is true and genuine. And it is the way that God operates. You see, he didn't force Adam and Eve to love them. God doesn't force anybody to love them. In fact, he shows us his love first, so that by his love, we can then fall in love with him. Love is not just an attribute of God. In fact, the next thing, in order for us to, for our love to be perfected, to be completed, he says, "In that the love of God hath to us, God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him." See, love is not just an attribute of God. Rather, love is the essence of who he is. Love is the essence of who he is. See, God did not have to bring forth creation. He did not have to form man. God exists without any dependence on anything else. He is self-dependent. He's self-sufficient. We see that in when he's in the when he shows himself to Moses in the burning bush. Moses says that he saw a bush that burned, but the tree wasn't consumed because the fire was independent of the tree. God does not need any external source to exist. We do. And he did not have to make anything, but yet he did so out of love. He needs nothing from us, and he doesn't force us to love him either, and neither does he force the angels. You see, the angels worship God out of their own free will. And we know that because They're able to rebel. We read about angels that fell and Lucifer, who betrayed God. So they have the ability to be able to go and rebel against God. So God did not make them as robots. But we see in the essence of who God is, he chooses to give. He gives life. He called forth creation. He made a garden and he put man into it. He gave man everything that they needed. Because the essence of love is giving. You see, you cannot say that you love, but yet you don't give. You don't offer anything of yourself. You can't say that you love God if you don't give him any time, if you don't seek after him. You can't say you love your kids and you never spend any time with them. You can't say you love your wife and yet you don't want to be with her. Because the essence of love is giving. God so loved the world that he gave. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God is love. We need to understand that God is love. And then the second part of verse 16, where our love is made perfect, is made complete, is by dwelling in God, which goes together with what John tells us in John chapter 15, verse 4, where Jesus tells us that in order for us to have any type of productivity, in order for us to bear any type of fruit in the Christian life, we need to abide in Christ. Because Christ reveals the love of the Father. Christ, Jesus Christ, is the revelation of God's love. He is whom God sent, whom God the Father sent to the world to testify that truly the Father loves us. See, the message of Jesus was very different than the message that was brought on by other prophets. You read some of the prophets and there's some prophets that there's just messages of condemnation. That Israel had gone too far away. They had gone to the point where they just would not repent anymore, and the only thing that would come upon them was judgment. But Jesus says that he came not to condemn, but to save. And shows us the heart of God. And that's something that's so important, brothers and sisters, because sometimes we're so quick to condemn. We're so quick to write people off when this doesn't reflect the heart of the Father. And Jesus shows us that over and over. Because Christ is the revelation of God's love. In fact, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, in the original Greek, where it says that God called us has translated into the kingdom of his dear Son. In the Greek, it says Jesus is called the Son of his love. The Son of his love, which is a very, very beautiful saying. He is the revelation of his love, of God's love incarnate. So our love is completed. Our love is perfected through knowing and believing that God loves us, knowing that the essence of who God is love. And that's so important because that's what we should be striving for. That's what we should be seeing in our lives. We should love more today than we did before if we're being conformed to the image of God. Jesus is the revelation of God's love. So what is the purpose of being perfected and complete in love? And Paul tells us here in verse 17, he says, herein is our love made perfect, or made complete, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That we may have boldness in the day of judgment. That word boldness means confidence. It means to speak with freedom. You see, brothers and sisters, the Bible shows us that there's no more condemnation for the Christian. That means that in the day of judgment, as Christians, we're not going to be judged for our sin because Jesus paid for our sins at the cross. However, that doesn't mean that we will not be held accountable for the way that we lived upon the earth. Although we will not be judged for our sins, we will, however, have to give an account for what we did with our salvation, for what we did with what God gave us. See, our salvation is not limited to justification. It's not limited to being stamped not guilty. It's not limited to just going to heaven when you die. But you see, our salvation, when a person is sealed by the Holy Spirit, when a person has been justified, they now have access to God. You now have access to know Him, to pray, to allow Him to transform us and to be vessels for His Spirit so that we can be living testaments to the reality of His love. See, sometimes we give in and we forget the incredible position that we're in. In the book of Hebrews, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? In Hebrews 2:3. We can neglect our salvation. We can live our lives feeling powerless, when in reality we have access to the greatest power that exists, which is the power of God. It's not something that we wield willfully, but it's something that we have access to through prayer. We have the ability to come to God, and God has the ability to change circumstances. He has the ability to be able to change world events. He has the ability to be able to do the impossible. And because we neglect this door that we have, this entrance that we have now into the Holy of Holies, we're missing out on making an impact. We're missing out on bringing change in our homes because we're not praying. Prayer is the most important thing for the Christian, because it is through prayer that the battle is won. God fights our battles. But when we don't pray, when we don't seek Him, we're not depending on Him, and we're depending on our own strength, on our own intellect. And that's why we live defeated lives. On that day of judgment, those that lived in the love of the Father, that lived abiding in Christ, would be unashamed. Unashamed. But the question is, and the question that we need to ask ourselves, will we have boldness on that day? Will we be confident that we lived in that love? Or will we have regrets because there's so much that we could have done? You see, brothers and sisters, we have access to the throne of God. The Bible says that we can come boldly before the throne of God. Boldly. It's like He's saying the same word here that represents that the Apostle John says about boldness. We have the ability to come boldly, unashamed, freely speak before the throne of God. We have an audience with the King, with the Creator of heaven and earth. You don't have to go get some kind of security clearance. You don't have to make an appointment a year in advance. We have access to Him 24/7. But the enemy knows this. The enemy knows that the greatest weapon that the Christian has is prayer. So he does everything to distract us. He does everything to get us to be worn out physically. He does everything to get us to neglect this time that is of such great importance. Because he knows that through prayer is where we will be empowered. Through prayer is how we will be changed and transformed into the image of Christ. That's why the last thing that Jesus did before he was taken to the cross, he was in prayer. The Bible says that he was sweating drops of blood, but yet he was seeking the Father and getting strength from the Father for such an important moment. And we need to follow the same. He says, as he is, so are we in this world. Brothers and sisters, the ultimate goal of our salvation is to be made into the image of Christ. The reason we were saved was so that we can be transformed from glory to glory, changed into the image of the Son of God. And this conformity to Christ comes as we die to ourselves and yield to the Spirit through obedience to the Word of God. Conformity to Christ happens moment by moment, decision by decision, as we decide that we're not going to live for ourselves. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to build in us the character of Christ, because we want to obey the word of God. It's going to be very sad to arrive in heaven and for the Lord to show us a glimpse of what we could have been if only we had yielded more to Christ. Let us not live with that regret. Let us set in our hearts to seek the Lord so that we can truly be transformed.
Amen. I'm going to start off in verse 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. First of all, I want to look at what the word rely means. And it means to depend on with full trust and confidence. So what it says here, it says, and so we know and we have full trust and confidence on the love God has for us. Now, why is it saying this? Because, you know, when we look at the world's love is based on condition. It's based on what you do, how you perform, and the way you are. But here, it's telling us that, you know, God loves us not on what the things you've done, not because the things you have done for him, not because the things that you have done for others, but because he loves you. That's why when Pastor Javer was talking about salvation, salvation has nothing to do with condition. It has nothing to do how bad you were. It was how much God loved you that he gave his life for you. Now let's continue to see what it's talking about here, because this is very profound. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God. So in other words, this type of love that God shows us is a love that every believer should extend to other people. I mean, when you live in this world, you see that a lot of people portray hate. You know, and what it's telling us that this form of love, even to the people that hate you and mistreat you, is a love that comes within us that is a love that God can only give us. In this way, love is made complete among us so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. Because in this world, we are like him. Why do we need to be confident in the day of judgment? Why is that even mentioned in the scripture? Because the reason why this is here is that, you know, we don't need to be worried about, like the world has to be worried about what their outcome is going to be. God loved us so much that he paid your price at the cross of Calvary. And that's why we don't have to live in fear about having to face that particular day like somebody that would be in the world and doesn't accept Jesus as his personal Savior will have something to think about when they die. But as children of God, God extended his love toward us so that we are forgiven for the things that we have done. And therefore, we could be assured that we will be accepted in God's hand when we get into heaven. So, brothers and sisters, it is very important for each and every one of us, right? And I know it's something hard to do when somebody hates you, when somebody wrongs you, to be able to extend love to that person. But, you know, this is something that Jesus did, and this is something that we are to do as well. Because if God lives in us, the only way that we would be able to portray or to show people that God is in us is to be able to forgive. And once we forgive, that person, they hate you so much, will wonder, why would somebody that I treat them bad or simply don't like shows me love and affection? So that person will change, or at least try to find out, you know, how are you in this way? And that will bring an opportunity to tell them about Jesus.
The next verse, connected to verse 17, it says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. One of the greatest hindrances that exists for Christians and for people in general, something that will keep us from being able to ever progress, is fear. Fear is one of the greatest tools and tactics that the enemy does to try and intimidate the people of God into not fulfilling what they are called to do. But I think this is probably one of the most important verses in the scriptures, in the fact that we as Christians are not called to fear. Fear will stop us from being able to walk in what God has called us to do. Fear is so destructive in our spiritual development. There's people that don't talk to others about Jesus out of fear. There's people that don't receive Jesus out of fear because they're afraid of what their family members are going to think, what their friends are going to think. Fear is a force of destruction in the lives of people. I remember when we had a trip to Nicaragua, one of the things that the pastor mentioned to us is that one of the things that a lot of people battle with in that country is fear and timidness, and that a lot of people will not come forward out of being so shy and fearful that a lot of them will go to hell because of their fear of receiving the Lord in a public place. See, that's why fear is so demonic. The opposite of faith is fear. And the opposite of love is also fear. And he says, there is no fear in love. And this goes connected with the verse that he was saying prior with regards to having boldness in the day of judgment. A person who has not been completed in love is afraid to face God because they still haven't truly believed and understand that their sins are forgiven, that they've been completely given a brand new slate, that their righteousness that they have is the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So the enemy uses this fear to constantly keep them in bondage and in torment. In fact, that's one of the things that John says here. He says, fear has to do with punishment. Fear hath torment, says the King James. And it is true, brothers and sisters. A person that is bound by fear constantly lives a life of torment. I mean, when we look at all the different types of phobias that people have in the United States, there's people that are afraid to go outside, to go out in public. Social phobias. Phobias of things that are just so meaningless and unimportant, but yet people's lives are destroyed because of these fears. And a lot of it is because we have not allowed our minds to be renewed. Instead of letting our thoughts go through the filter of faith, we just allow our mind to do what it wants, to go wherever it wants. And when that happens, it's dangerous. Because the mind has the ability to be able to project certain fears that are not there. Like when we're in places with low light or at night in the darkness, you can imagine things out of fear that are not there. That happens to children that are afraid of the dark. Their minds have the ability to make them feel like something is there because of the direction in which their thoughts are going. That's why we have to have dominion over our minds. One of the pieces of armor that we read about is the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And what's the purpose of a helmet? It's to protect the head. We're to protect our minds because the devil wants to implant into our minds thoughts of fear, so that we will not have faith, so that we can experience torment. Fear will keep us from doing what God has called us to do. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus tells us a parable of the talents. Now, what a talent was a very large sum of money. in those times. It was a whole lot of money. And this portion of scripture is in Matthew 25, verse 13. And let's look at a couple of important details and what happens and what Jesus is telling us here. Matthew 25, verse 13. And he says in verse 13, he says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." So the context of where he's speaking about is the fact that he's speaking about his second coming. He's speaking about when he's going to return to the earth. And then he says in verse 14, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, and to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability, and immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, 'Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' He also who had received 2 talents came and said, 'Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them.' His Lord said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord.' When he who had received the 1 talent came and said, 'Lord, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And here's the key. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours.' The other 2 men had received much more than what this one had received. One had received 5, the other had received 2. He only had received 1. They had greater responsibility, greater accountability, greater risk of losing that money. Yet they were all faithful. And the one that had only received 1, because of his fear, he went and hid it. Fear caused him to not be able to multiply on the resources that he was given. And brothers and sisters, we've been given much more than what a talent is worth. We've been given a relationship with God. We've been given gifts by the Holy Spirit, gifts that are for edification of the church. And God is looking to receive some interest on what he has given us. And look what verse 26 says, "But his Lord answered and said to him, 'You wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest.'" He calls him wicked and lazy. Wicked and lazy. Because of his fear and because of what was in his heart, he would not do and use the resources that he had been given. And we should take this as a very strong lesson, brothers and sisters, because many of us have great talents. Many of us have gifts that God has given us, but we're afraid of failing. We're afraid of what others might think. We're afraid of letting go of this or letting go of that. And that fear hinders and keeps us from being able to fulfill the will of God. I know what it is to be enslaved to fear. It is torture, but the most empowering thing to do is to live by faith. And the way we live by faith is by living in love, in the love of God, believing that God is with us, that if he's called us to do something, he will strengthen us, he will teach us, he will protect us, He will provide for us. He will keep us from falling. That He's the one that's in command and in charge of all the events in our lives, and that He will not allow us to be destroyed. See, when we fill our hearts and our minds with God's love, we can face anything. See, David, when he stood up before the giant, he was able to stand up before him because he lived an intimate life with God and he knew that God loved him. That's why he was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd." And he knew, and that imagery of a shepherd is so important because he himself was a shepherd. And if you know anything about sheep, is that sheep are very dumb and they get into circumstances that are dangerous very easily. And the shepherd has to be continually on top of them, taking them out of trouble's way, protecting them. That's why David was able to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," because he knew what it was to have an intimate relationship. He knew that God loved him. And he was able to stand up against that giant because he knew God was on his side. And when we become confident of God's love, we're able to stand up to any circumstance in our life because we know that God is behind us and before us.
Amen. I'm going to get back to the scriptures, but before that, I want you to turn to 2 Timothy 1:7. And this is what the Word of God says: "For God has not given us the spirit of fear." You know, brothers and sisters, first of all, this is very clear. Fear is a spirit, and it's from the devil. So this is not something that we need to harbor. This is something that we need to reject and fight against. Then it says, "But of power and of love and of a sound mind." One of the things that the spirit of fear brings in us is we start to worry about things that God has already in control. We start worrying about our jobs. We start worrying about our payments. We start worrying about what we're going to do, what's going to happen when we get old. And all these thoughts consume us. But the Spirit of God is about power. And what I'm talking about power is to be able to overcome and push forward and fight against the wiles of the devil. The problem is a lot of us, have been taught to fear. A lot of times we've been taught by our own parents to fear this. Be careful not to go into that neighborhood. You know, and everything is a fear in our lives. But this is not the way that we are supposed to be. Because when we look in the book of Isaiah 41:10, this is what the Word of God says: "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my right hand." If you know that you have God that's going to help you through your situation, why are you worried? Listen, I can remember times in my life when I was concerned and worried about things. And then when the problems and the situations that I had were resolved, I said, "Wow. Why did I worry so much about this?" But it's in our nature. We were taught that, to fear. And the devil thrives on fearing. Is God really going to save you? Is he going to condemn you? Are they going to fire you tomorrow? You're not going to have a job. Are you going to lose your home? So all these things are things that battle in our mind. And it keeps us from focusing on God. Now let's get back to the scripture. "There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear." What is it? Perfect love drives out fear. We shouldn't harbor fear. We should expel it. Because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. In other words, again, we were talking about God's love, right? His redemption, his forgiveness from judgment. And now here is talking about, what are you worried about? if God has already loved you so much that he paid the price for you. So my brothers and sisters, God's love for us surpasses anything that we could even think of. And there shouldn't be anything that is an obstacle in our lives. Brother Javer mentioned a little while ago that, you know, that he suffered with fear. And listen, one of the things that I could tell you, brothers and sisters, a lot of people that don't know me, I didn't know how to read and write at 33 years of age. Now, if you had something to fear about, that's one of the biggest things you could fear about. Because where are you going to get a job? Who's going to hire a person that doesn't know how to read and write? But the problem is that I didn't rely on the world. I didn't rely on my achievements. I relied on God. And when you trust in God, it doesn't matter what the devil thinks or what he wants. God is going to accomplish his plan in your life. So if right now you're suffering with fear about something that you're going through, let me tell you, the things that you think are impossible are possible through God. So I encourage you to stand up and fight.
The very next verse that the Apostle John says, he says, we love him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Meaning that God's love is what motivates us, is what strengthens us so that we can be able to love him. It is his actions that he has shown us through Christ, through the cross, that allow us to be able to love him. And this is important because one of the greatest commandments in the scriptures is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy mind, thy soul. And unless you are able to see and have a revelation of God's love for you, you are not able to fulfill that commandment. That's what John is saying. He's saying we love him because he first loved us. You can't love God unless you know how much he loves you. You can't love God unless you're able to understand the gospel. Because that's where he showed us his love. And it is his love that causes us to change. Again, like we mentioned last week, the Bible says it is the goodness of God that leads men to repentance. Not the judgment of God. The judgment, God's judgment, is his very last resort that he has. But he doesn't do it because he knows that we'll be changed by it. But he does it because he has to execute his justice. God's judgment doesn't change people. That's why in the scriptures you read in the book of Revelation, there's plague after plague, and yet people continue to blaspheme God even more. But when you experience God's mercy, God's grace, that's what causes your heart to melt, like that woman that was standing before Christ that had been caught in the very act of adultery and was about to be stoned by the Pharisees. When that woman saw that Jesus did not condemn her, that Jesus had mercy on her, I believe she was changed right then and there because she called Jesus Lord. That woman whose life was about to be taken from her because of the sin that she was in, at that moment was transformed when she encountered the love of God. It's not God's desire that men should perish. The Bible says not his will that men should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God wants us to repent. That's why he's so kind to us, brother and sister. Now the problem is that sometimes we just don't get the point. Sometimes God is kind to us and we reject his love. Let us be changed by it. Let us, our minds, dwell upon his amazing love towards us. And believe that it is real, brothers and sisters, especially in these days, in these times, these difficult times where we're seeing our nation that once was a beacon for the gospel is being turned to darkness. We must believe and know that God is with us and not fear whatever may be before us. Because who can be against us if God is with us?
Amen. Let me finish with this, what Pastor Javer just mentioned. We love because he first loved us. You know when we're really going to fall in love with Christ? When we realize where he took us from, where we realize where we were destined and he freed us from. Then, and only then, are you going to truly be able to give your heart to Christ. Father God, tonight, Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for the grace that you had for us. When we deserved the worst, you put yourself in our place and set us free. And for that, Father, we thank you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Once again, we thank you for listening tonight, for tuning in to Radio Redemption and Power. We invite you to visit our webpage as well as our live feed. You can also download the free app either for Android or iPhone on the App Store or on the Google Play Store. And you can always write to us at redemptionandpower@gmail.com or contact us at 305-320-7727. Thank you again. May the Lord bless you.
Every day the world is becoming darker and darker. Soon the Son of Man shall appear in glory and power, and the nation shall mourn with the sight of his coming. Are you ready for the return of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? As the armies of darkness march towards global domination, many slumber as we approach the second coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us awake and announce his kingdom.
Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming. It is near.
You are listening to Radio Redemption.
And power! And power! Power!
For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. 1 Corinthians 4:20.
Stir in me a love that's deep, a love that's wide, a love that's sweet. And help me, Lord, to never keep it to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. Cause there's no to myself. And if my heart should dimly burn, and if my feet should fail to run, call my name and I will come right back to you. Cause there's no love. I wanna stay close to you. It's really that simple. I wanna stay close to you, just as simple as this song. I wanna stay close to you. It's really that simple. I wanna stay close to you.